when I was young, I always wanted to be in the media space. I was the editor of my school newspaper, of my yearbook. And because of that, you know, I think when you're young, you automatically try to go in the exact same direction. So for us, our existing students are probably our strongest influencers, where we get them to talk about their experience, talk about how the test has worked for them. The third is to really develop your network. I think having a strong network and always trying to figure out ways that you can engage and interact with people is really important, because you never know where opportunities come from, right? And I think that is something that I really value, and my network has gotten me to where I am today.
Where do you see organic search in the journey of building and growing a brand like Duolingo?
Super important.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to yet another episode of The Growth Genius, powered by Infidigit, the SEO specialists. This is where we bring to you growth stories in marketing and business. Our very special growth genius in today's episode is someone who has been in the media industry for quite some time. Somehow she felt media was her calling, but at the end of the day, she landed up in digital education, EdTech as we know, and she is making waves with one of the biggest brands in the world, Duolingo. So without further ado, please join me in welcoming Tara Kapoor, who is the head of marketing for Duolingo English Test. Hi, Tara. Welcome to the Growth Genius podcast. Thanks a lot for joining us. And we are really thankful to you for your time.
Thanks for having me here. I'm excited to see how this conversation shapes up.
Yeah. Likewise. To begin with, Tara, we would like to know your role at Duolingo. So can you let us know a bit about that?
Yeah. So I think what's interesting is I lead marketing in India for the Duolingo English Test, which is a high-stakes English proficiency test that is run by Duolingo. So a lot of people know Duolingo as the language app product, but we actually do have multiple products, and the Duolingo English Test is one of those. I've been with the company a little over a year now, and my primary objective has been to grow marketing and awareness for the DET in the Indian market. So a lot of my job is, you know, number one was kind of setting up things from scratch, kind of building the foundations for the Duolingo English Test, because we are a much newer test in comparison to other proficiency tests out there. But it's super exciting and promising as a product. And I think I was really motivated and excited by the mission that Duolingo has as a company. And I think getting on board and being a part of this team has been super exciting in the last year that I've been working on it.
That's wonderful. That's quite a new space that you are in right now. And coming to your professional life, Tara, you know, your professional journey has, you know, transitioned across various industries like media and whatnot. So tell us more about your professional journey.
I think for me, it's actually interesting because it's all very interconnected, even though it seems like various industries kind of coming together. But when I was young, I always wanted to be in the media space. I was the editor of my school newspaper, of my yearbook. And because of that, you know, I think when you're young, you automatically try to go in the exact same direction. You know, I didn't really know much about marketing as a career, but for me, because it was the editor of my newspaper, I thought journalism was my calling, right? So I went to journalism school and started my career as a business journalist, which I think was really interesting because I used to produce and report for a show called Brand Equity, which was run by the Times Group. It
wow.
still exists as a
yes,
show.
Yes.
And during that journey, I think that's when I really realized I was really interested by marketing and advertising. You know, so that's where I met the who's who of the industry. That's where I started understanding how you draw consumer insights to create powerful content. And then I was also producing the show itself, right? You know, so I was understanding what works, what doesn't work, what do people resonate with. I was speaking to everybody. And then after a certain point of time, I realized that I wanted to actually be on the other side of the table. So instead of just reporting on marketing and advertising, I wanted to be creating the content that people spoke about and creating campaigns that people spoke about, and then try to make a transition. So to do that, I started out at an advertising agency. When I made that shift, digital was really starting to boom, you know, so there were these hot shop digital agencies that were coming up to take on the traditional agencies. And I jumped on that bandwagon. I joined a friend of mine who runs a very successful agency right now called Cozy Collective or Safari Studios. I was there with them for about four and a half years. And through that process, I was able to really prove that I can create campaigns, you know, because but when you're an agency, you're creating campaigns for various other brands, you know. So I got to work with the likes of YouTube, Twitter, Red Bull, you know, massive brands, people doing really exciting work. And then because I had that proof of concept, I was able to then move to Vice Media, and then from Vice Media to Netflix, where I led series marketing for them for 3 years. And now finally at the stint that I'm at with Duolingo.
That is pretty interesting, you know, the journey that you shared with us. Thanks a lot for that. I would like to, you know further on in terms of how this is actually creating a rise in demand, you know, across the world in the edtech space. So what are your thoughts on that?
I think in general, you know, especially in a country like India, we have such a large population of people that aren't getting basic levels of education, right? So I think one thing that EdTech is doing is really transforming how people reach education as well as making it a lot more affordable, right? So with things like AI, you're able to give customized experiences to people, which is amazing, right? Through technology. So you're actually able to customize lessons and learning for people at different levels, almost like a classroom experience. And it's sometimes actually better than classroom experiences because you're not getting biased perspectives and you're giving each student equal attention, right? And I think these are the reasons people are gravitating towards it as well. It doesn't mean it's a core replacement to everything. Like, I think with every sector, there's a level of balance. But I think the reason we're seeing growth and we're seeing people adopting EdTech as a sector is because of the experience that it gives its consumers and the fact that it's opening doors to a lot of people who didn't have those opportunities earlier. So I think that's why you're seeing the kind of growth from consumers across the world and particularly in India.
You almost sound like, you know, you are on a path to democratize education for all.
And that's the objective, right? With it. I think the, you know, for us as a company, that yes. is one of our strongest pillars in terms of being our mission, right? Our mission is to make world-class education accessible to everyone. Absolutely. And I think when you work at a company like this, you really believe that because you see people doing this day in and day out, and it's something that they're driven by and motivated by, and they're always thinking about how to make that experience better for consumers. So absolutely, I think you hit the nail on the head with that.
Wonderful, amazing. And you know, if you can share your outlook on the changing consumer needs, specifically in the edtech sector, how would that be?
I think there's certain things that remain the same, where when it comes to education, it's one of the most important things in anyone's life, right? And especially when you look at Indian consumers, education is one of the top priorities of families. You know, they spend such a disproportionate amount of their income on education, which when you look at any strata of society, right? So I think the behavior that remains the same is when you're getting into those kind of things, you will do your research and you will spend your time and you will do your due diligence because that's what's required, you know, and because you're putting so much amount of your income towards education, you want to make sure that you're getting the best opportunity for yourself. So I think that remains the same, whether it's traditional education or edtech. The amount of time that it takes for a consumer to decide to make a purchase is a very long period of time. They will spend, you know, they will speak to people, they will do their research online, do their Google searches, collate their information, create shortlists, do their math, see if they're getting a loan. There's so much that happens in that process, right? So that's always existed. The benefit of EdTech is it's made it much faster and made it much more efficient for people. So you have the benefit of hybrid education, which didn't exist earlier. You have the benefit of, you know, being able to take classroom, you know, work and do classes, you know. So for instance, for me, I did a virtual course last year with IIM Calcutta, which was a 1-year degree. And I did that while having a full-time job. And I would not be able to do that if EdTech didn't exist, right? So I think that's sort of the process where you're seeing larger adoption and you're seeing people, that's the shift. You're seeing people migrate to being able to do hybrid things, whether it's hybrid courses where they do a portion of their course in one country and another, you know, virtually. There's people like me who are able to work and study at the same time. So that volume or that, you know, that sector in the middle is growing significantly because you're seeing more and more people being able to adopt things that work for them. And each person is able to customize that experience for themselves. And I think that's the bigger shift.
Yeah, that's very interesting because it opens up a lot of opportunities in terms of learning, in terms of upskilling yourself as well. You know, so that is something that actually, you know, you answered half of my question, my next question already, in terms of, you know, how EdTech is changing today in the fast-paced digital age. But also, I would like to know about the pitfalls. Like you talked about the benefits, I would also want you to, you know, touch upon what are the drawbacks, if any, in such a scenario where, you know, EdTech has grown so much in today's digital age.
Yeah, I think I touched on that a little bit in my previous answer as well. I think it is making sure that it's a credible experience, right? So the businesses that do that are the ones that will succeed. The others will struggle, right? Because like I said, it's an important purchase in a student or any consumer's experience, right? And if it's something that they're going to spend time doing research on, they will be able to pick the better options versus the ones that aren't. It's any industry, right? Like that's sort of what happens. So I would say that, you know, the challenge is sort of just building the best business. And that's what exists in any business, so to say.
Now, today we know that EdTech has changed over the past few years also because of COVID. But how do you build a brand, you know, ground up in such a scenario? What has been your experience?
I think for a lot of these businesses, because you're focusing on younger consumers, you can actually create your brand completely digitally, right? So you don't necessarily need to follow traditional mediums to be able to create brand from scratch, which used to exist previously. For us, for instance, for the Duolingo English test in India, we've been completely digitally focused in our strategy. So whether it's social media or influencers or PR or even the ads that we run, it's all led by digital because that's where our consumer base is. And that's also what our product is, right? So I think the core is really understanding your consumer and where they're at and being able to speak to them at every touch point when they want to engage with a brand like yours, right? So while I worked at a business like Netflix, where our core objective was to entertain, there are thousands of touch points where people want to be entertained in their day-to-day, right? So it could be while they're commuting, it could be when they're at home right after dinner, it could be, you know, when they're going out for date night. There's so many places where you can entertain somebody, and Netflix would have to have a very varied strategy to be able to cater to all of those different touch points. For education, it's slightly different, right? When you're catering to a person who is looking to study abroad, you need to find them at those specific touch points, because if I'm trying to reach out to the same consumer when they want to be entertained, they definitely don't want to be engaging with an education brand at that point, right? So, but when they're doing their research, they want help, they want support, they want somebody to give them guidance. And those are the places where we need to be present. So I think we've kind of built our strategy around really understanding what our consumers' needs are and where do they want to engage with a brand like us, right? So, and because of having that kind of prioritization, our budget is able to go way further than it would be if we were just trying to slap our creatives everywhere, right? So that's a little bit about how we've built our brand so far.
That's interesting to understand what the touch points are and basis that you actually, you know, give that kind of a message so that people then get hooked on to it, so to say. Having said that, you also mentioned about influencers. So would love to know more about, you know, what is your take on the role of influencers today?
Absolutely. I think especially for younger audiences, they get most of their information from influencers. So influencers are pretty much a distribution channel in themselves, right? So especially when you're identifying the spaces, you know, so every sector has its own set of influencers that younger generations follow. So I look at influencers, one, as a distribution channel where you're just kind of getting them to serve the message that you want to, the same way you would if you paid YouTube to push an ad for yourself, right? So I think one part is distributing them to the audiences and identifying the right influencers that match the audience you're going after. The second part around influencers, I think, is influence goes beyond just following, right? Influence can come from very, like, how do you get influenced when you want to buy something? It's through word of mouth, right? So for me, my friends and family are my influencers, or my counselor is my influencer, or, you know, my tutor or somebody like that. And I'm speaking specifically for the sector that my product operates in. But for me, influencer is not only about distribution, which is one angle of it, which are, you know, the influencers that we all know today. The other part is about recommendation and testimonials, which is, for study abroad, the strongest way of influencing somebody to take the test is to hear from somebody who's done it before, right? So for us, our existing students are probably our strongest influencers, where we get them to talk about their experience, talk about how the test has worked for them. And then that, to me, really influences somebody who's considering taking the test and is doing their research. So it's twofold. You have your mass influencers, which I said are the distribution channels, and then you have the real influencers for the sector, who are your friends and family.
That's pretty much defining influencers basis, you know, what industry we are talking about. Yes, and education as such, you know, the influencers themselves are very different as compared to other industries, so to say. Thanks for throwing light on that, because otherwise everybody thinks influencers is just the ones who actually come on TikTok videos. So
And I feel like, you know, we're all influencers in some shape or form, right? Like, we all have influence on somebody or somebody around you. And it's now a day and age where everybody's recommending something, right? So I actually probably follow what my friends are recommending on their social media channels more than a mass influencer, you know, endorsing a product. So it's kind of changing in terms of how people are looking at that today.
Sure. And I wanted to understand, you know, where do you see organic search in the journey of building and growing a brand like, you know, Duolingo?
Super important. To give you a short answer to that question, but I think the longer answer to it is, like I said, you know, when it comes to consumer journey, especially in education, the consumer will take their time and they will do their research and they will spend time searching the internet, right? So when you do that, you need to make sure your SEO is strong so that you're visible when your consumer is looking for you, right? Or looking for even spaces around where your product operates, right? So it's essential for an education brand to have a strong search and SEO strategy, because it's a sector where you aren't making impulse purchases. You will never make an impulse education purchase. You will always spend time doing due diligence. And in some sectors, for example, for universities, it's a super long lead time. Like, it will take at least 2 years. You know, think about when anyone has started doing research for their universities. You probably started when you were in 10th or 11th standard, when you were going to graduate, and then it was going to take 3 years for you to get to that university. But you started 3 years before that, right? So, search is supremely important for this sector.
Thank you. Thank you for validating that for our audience as well. Very important.
I know, this works really well for you.
Yes, absolutely. Very grateful to you for that. So having said that, I wanted to understand, you know, we are in the last leg of the podcast. So can you share some growth stories from your professional journey, which actually, you know, becomes an aha moment for our audience?
Yeah, I mean, there's tons. I've been working in this industry for a while, so I will always have stories. But I think for me, the most recent one that I've been excited by was a very recent opportunity we had with the DET and SRK's film Donkey, where it's a film that sort of talks about illegally migrating to the UK, right? But the whole strategy that we had around our campaign was to say that, hey, cool, in the 90s, maybe they didn't have other options, but today the smarter way to do this is to take the DAT, you know? And it was just a little tongue-in-cheek kind of campaign talking about, don't do the donkey way, do it the DAT way, you know, because you don't want to go through this crazy process that they've gone through in the movie to get to the UK, right? And it was really nice for us to be able to be a part of a cultural moment because you don't get so many opportunities to do that as an English test, right? But what it did for us was get us closer to our consumer because, you know, students are watching Dunkie and they appreciate brands that kind of are speaking to them in their language and engaging with pop culture as long as it's relevant, right? Like, I couldn't do this for any movie out there, but I could do it in a movie that was touching on the space or the sector that we kind of operated, right? So I really enjoyed that process. It was literally over the December break, you know, so we ran with it in the middle of the holidays, but was definitely a meaningful opportunity for me.
It's like a sign from the universe, Tara.
Yeah, it was run with it.
I mean, you cannot have so many things coinciding together, you know, which actually resonates so much with your brand, and that too with a brand like SRK. So that actually, you know, gives you an opportunity to have a home run as far as communication is concerned.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think, you know, we'll probably need some more guests on our podcast to talk this growth story.
That's a big compliment. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. And lastly, I would like to request you to share some takeaways from your journey, which can be helpful to budding professionals.
Yeah, so I think I have a few. So I think the first is to always have a learner's mindset. I think that's something that's worked really well for me in my career. And I hope it will keep on helping me as I progress. I want to keep learning. I appreciate people who want to learn. And I think as you do that, you just keep enhancing yourself because the world is evolving so quickly. And if you're not keeping up with it and you're not educating yourself, then you will get left behind. So having a strong learner's attitude, I think, is my number one tip to people. The second is having flexibility, right? Because again, spaces move really quickly. And I just gave you the Dunkie example, right? Like, that was an opportunity that came to us without us thinking about it. And if we weren't flexible with it, we wouldn't have had that campaign run out, which was a great piece of content for us to put out. And then there's also opportunities where the environment changes. So, you know, there's certain things that don't fall in line with where the world is today. So you need to be flexible and nimble to be able to keep transforming the work that you're doing as well as yourself. And the third is to really develop your network. You know, I love that you and me met at an event, you know, and now we're doing a podcast today. We're working together in some capacity, right? And I think having a strong network and always trying to figure out ways that you can engage and interact with people is really important because you never know where opportunities come from, right? And I think that is something that I really value, and my network has gotten me to where I am today. And I think as you cultivate and create that community, it will be very meaningful for you. And finally, I think that's it. I think those would be my top tips.
So top three is, like, you know, have a learner's mindset, be flexible and nimble to adapt, and keep networking.
Yeah.
Right? Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you so much for sharing these nuggets of wisdom for our audience. I think they will learn a lot, not just with this answer, but also with the insight that you have shared throughout the podcast. So thank you again, Tara, for joining us on the Growth Genius podcast, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you for having me. It was great chatting with you.
Pleasure. Great. So, ladies and gentlemen, this brings us to the end of yet another episode of the Growth Genius. What an insightful episode this has been, starting from media and coming to the edtech industry, what we know of today, talking about how influencers are relevant in the edtech industry today. And also, Tara shared some of her nuggets of wisdom, talking about how one should have a learner attitude, how one should be flexible, and at the same time, always build your network. And as they always say, your net worth is your network today. So, coming to an end to this episode, I would suggest you like, share, and subscribe the content if you feel like it. And as you know, we are present in all social media platforms. We are also available on all the audio platforms. The link to all of these are mentioned in the descriptor below. So till the next episode of The Growth Genius, thanks a lot and keep learning, keep inspiring.
Thank you.